we are coming up on a time when people are going to be very prone to say thank you. People are going to be thinking about thanks. Even people who don't normally show gratitude will more than likely say something of thanks. And as I was thinking about this morning and thinking about what to share with you before we take the Lord's Supper, turn with me to Luke 17. We heard enough already. We could literally go home. We heard about the God who came and died. And even while he's under the intense wrath of his Father for sinners, he has a compassionate heart for one who was just moments ago reviling him. We heard how so much amazing power can be found in such a small word like of, because it's connected to such a great word like gospel. And we who are so small and so insignificant, like the word of, can have great meaning because we are connected to such a great Savior like Christ. Well, I definitely don't want to speak for no reason, but I feel there may be something to add to what we've already heard. So Luke 17, here we get this account, verse 11 through 19, about these 10 lepers and how they were healed. Here's the Christ, like our brother was sharing, showing kindness and mercy to people who were undeserving, unworthy, who deserved their leprosy and much more. And yet, what do we see? Verse 12, he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Mercy is not deserved. Mercy is not owed. Mercy is a request that can be denied. And God has every right to deny mercy to us. Jesus does not owe mercy to these lepers. He certainly does not owe mercy to us. And yet look at our Christ. When he saw them, there is kindness there that Christ sees us. He looks at us, insignificant as we are, small as we are. I know it drives some people just out of their mind that people cannot notice things. How did you not see that thing on the floor? How did you not notice that there was a sink full of dishes? You didn't realize that you just bumped. I didn't see. There is a reality that we can be oblivious to the obvious. And yet our Christ sees them. He sees us. He notices that which is often unnoticed. He looks and he sees them. And sometimes seeing only produces anger. When you see someone who has offended you and you haven't seen them in a long time, memories start to stir up. When you're reminded of what someone did to you and then you see them, oh, that only made things worse. I was having a good day until I saw you, because you reminded me of what you've done to me. And yet look at Jesus. He sees them, and rather than remembering their youth to this moment and all of their sin and all of their rebellion and all of their wickedness, we don't know how they got leprosy. We don't know what they were doing, but we do know that they are sinners, for the Bible declares that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That includes these 10. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. He gave mercy to them. God gives mercy to all. We all should be in hell right now. I should be under the lake of fire. And yet he's given us all mercy that we live. He's given us all mercy that we are able to think, that we're here in the midst of the word of God, around the people of God, exposed to the truth of God. This is mercy and kindness from God to us, undeserving. And they went on with their healing. That's what they wanted. Like Eric said, they were concerned with this life and no more. Then one of them, and here's where I want us to grasp. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Christian, you see that you've been healed. You know the sicknesses that used to dominate you. Sickness of dishonesty, sickness of violence, the sickness of lust, the sickness of anger, the sickness of pride, the sickness of false religion, the sickness of self-righteousness. You know, the sickness that used to dominate you. And when you see, I'm healed. Oh, there may be temptation, but I am not controlled. I've been healed. I've received my discharge papers. I'm not in the hospital bed anymore. I am out walking out the door of the hospital. I've been healed. When you see that you've been healed, do you turn back? Praising God with a loud voice. It's not enough to just have a quiet, private religion. It's me and God, and I just want him to know how much he means to me. No, he didn't care if everyone knew. Praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. That's where I wanted to bring us. Giving him thanks. We heard about the gospel. We heard about the love of God. We heard about Christ. We heard about forgiveness. We heard about mercy. We heard about salvation. We heard about the rescue. We heard about our God loving us. This is the appropriate response. How often do you fall on your face and give him thanks? Now, this is a literal falling on the face, which is appropriate. There are times I know in my own life when I have been thrown to the floor thinking about what I deserve and what I've been given. And it's like your knees buckle. Your body loses all power and you are just collapsed under the weight of his love. How could you love someone like me? It literally brings you to your face and you say thank you. But there's the figurative reality of falling on your face and giving thanks. Are we thankful people? Is there a gratitude in us to God? One other verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Of course, this is the sum of the greatest chapters on giving and motivation for giving. And it's just amazing the way that the Lord communicates. I know in Haiti, they were particularly grateful to hear about cheerful giving, not compelled, not forced, as everyone has decided in their own heart to give. The context, but notice verse 15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Inexpressible. Have you ever received a gift that was so kind and thoughtful you were speechless? You're just at a loss of words. You just, you're stumbling all over the place. You may be very good with communication, but that act of love was so kind and so thoughtful. It may even come by the hands of a little child. It may come from your spouse. It may come from one of the brethren in the church. But somebody thought so lovingly towards you. And here it is. Sometimes women are like that when someone says, "Will you marry me?" It's like, this inexpressible gift of kindness. Well, God's gift to us is far greater than anything that we could buy or create or write or do. His love to us is an inexpressible gift, and yet we are to give thanks to him for it. And so with the remaining time, and I'm supposed to be keeping track of time, as you all come to pass out the elements, I'd like to hear from you all as you give thanks, as you follow the footsteps of our brother, the former leper, as he fell on his face and gave thanks. What, as you think of the gospel, as you think of what our brother Eric and our brother Randy has shared, as you've heard these words from the Word, what do you give thanks to Christ? Thanks to God. What brings to your mind thanksgiving? What are you thankful for regarding Christ and this great gospel?
Where to start? I'm just thankful for the saving grace in my life and the ability to bring it to others.
Yeah, such personal reality, right? I mean, God, he opened up the Red Sea. And they estimate about 1 million Israelites walked through. That is wonderful. That is amazing. But it doesn't feel real personal, does it? It's this huge, I mean, if you've ever watched the movies with, you know, the books, it's just this big clump of people, little dots and specks. It doesn't feel very personal in terms of salvation. But the thing about this is, like she said, the grace of God in my life. He saved me. He forgave me. He had mercy on me. The personal touch from Christ to you, and that he would allow us to share it with others. It's amazing. Man, thank you, Lord, that you would save us personally. Not just, all right, here are all the believers of all time. Boom, y'all are saved. That's not how he does it. Individual moments, personal testimonies. Anybody else?
I agree with what Megan said, and also that how, like, the Lord, he knows me so much. Like, he is that friend, and he walks with me through everything, and just that, like, a personal relationship through the good and the bad, and
that he would expose
himself to me
and open
my mind about that personal relationship.
Does the proverb say, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother? Well, Christ is both our big brother, and he said, no longer do I call you slaves, for slaves don't know their master's will, but I have called you friend. And we've never had a friend like Christ. Nobody would be our friend if they knew everything about us. They wouldn't want to be in the same room, same building, same planet with us. We're so vile in all of our sin, and yet, like you said, he knows everything about us. And he's not ashamed to be called our God. One more. Yeah. Isn't there something comforting about provision? Thinking ahead. I know there are some in this room who are very much into planning. My wife is one of them. It's wonderful. You prepare beforehand. You look to the ant, right? And you know that winter's coming. We're not going to have this. And so the reality of predestining, that God looks before we ever get here and supplies everything we need to be saved, sets up the very path of our life so that we would meet the people we need to meet, so that we would hear the things we need to hear, so that we would be rescued. And of course, we could go on and on for all of eternity. We will. Give thanks to God for his inexpressible gift. It's just to remember his inexpressible gift. That God came to this world wrapped in human flesh for his enemies. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is for those who are in the covenant. This is for those who know him and are known by him. This is for those who love him. I know throughout history, people have turned this into some magic potion, some formula, some hope. That salvation lies in a cup and in bread. But this is the symbol that we have already been saved. In fact, those who eat this bread and drink this cup without truly, truly understanding what's being done, they drink and eat judgment to themselves. But not God's people. This is to remind us of his love. So let's drink with thanksgiving in our hearts. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for planning. Thank you for the gospel of God. Thank you for the gospel of Christ. Thank you for the glory of the gospel. Thank you that this gospel is for us and that you would save us. In spite of us, Lord, help us to be grateful and show thanksgiving in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.